Hi, I'm Ella Sean, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest.
So I went to this like reggae bar and this woman was like, you should practice visualization because it's a wonderful method of channeling your energies or whatever. And I turned to this guy who was sitting beside me and I said, yo, what even is visualization? How does it work? I mean, really, why does it work? And he turned his head and looked at me and said, the question you want to ask is, how can you get it to work for you? Are you as confused about visualization and how it can work in your life as she is? Yeah? We'll talk about it. Hello, my enchanted beast. How are you? Okay, I know. It's been a while. I took my standard, 2 months off in December and January, but it's February, beast, and I'm back. I'm back and I'm better. I am a huge proponent of self-care, self-reflection, self-evaluation, and I can't take care of self, reflect on self, and evaluate self if I am constantly doing. Sometimes I just have to be. So I've been being Ella Sean for the last 2 months and it's amazing, but I'm so glad to be back in the Enchanted Forest with you guys. I mean, really, I kind of missed you. How does visualization work, right? What is it even? So I've spent a lot of time thinking about this idea of imaging, not imagining, but imaging the life I want. You can't image a life you want. You can only image how you want to be in life. And that was a game changer for me. I can't change life so much as I can change how I am in my life. It's kind of semantics, I think, right? I mean, because one could argue that if you are the one living this life, then yes, that life is yours to change. But really, life is kind of static. When you think about it, right? I mean, you're born, you grow up, you engage in some kind of employment or you don't, but you live, you go through these stages, you get older, and then you die. I mean, life is pretty much static. You don't really change life. I would argue life invariably changes you. It's not about creating the life. It's not about changing the life. It's not about embracing life. No, it really is about you. How can I image my higher self and live as that person? When I image my higher self, who is she? What does she look like? What does she move like? How does she feel? What are her practices, her beliefs? What are her standards? Because my higher self is a whole person, a whole woman. I can only image her and show up every day as that. Now, will that change my circumstances in my life? I don't know. And honestly, I don't care anymore. So today I'm talking about practicing visualization. Not to create the lifestyle you want to live, but to embody your higher self and allow her to live. So, what is visualization? I got it all wrong, y'all. I'm serious. I was like, visualization, it's just like you imagine everything you want to see, you imagine it and think about it. And that's it. That's visualizing. But it isn't. Visualization is very specific. It is seeing whatever it is you want to see in your mind and believing that it already is that way in your reality. It is seeing whatever it is you want to see within your mind and trusting that it already is that way in your reality. It is having the intention to make it so. Okay? So there are like three parts to visualization. First, you have to be able to see it clearly, right? And then you have to trust what you see. Thirdly, you have to have the intention of making what you see a part of your reality. So visualization, three parts. If you are missing any of those parts, then you are not visualizing. You are imagining. And imagination is amazing, but it's not visualization. Back in season one, I did a long series on the chakras because that's kind of where I base my understanding of energy and life and movement within and without, right? And when I was seriously considering visualization as a practice, like seriously, like I'm going to practice visualization. When I was considering it, I get the three parts, right? I get seeing, trusting, and intention. But what I didn't get was how doing that could make any difference in me as an individual person. It has nothing to do with the physical bodies. It has everything to do with the eternal bodies. And with that understanding, of course, it dawns on me. This takes place within my chakras. This is using the energy of my chakras to transform my lower self into my higher self. Anyway, so we know what visualization is. How does it work? It can only work through the chakras, which energize our eternal bodies. We have two very important parts that we have to focus on. The will. That is what I want from the universe. What I will have the universe to give me. Right? My desires. And intention, which is why we want it from the universe. Where is the will of humanity stored? The second chakra from the root chakra. We start at the base of the spine and work our way up to the crown of the head. If the base or root chakra is not spinning, not open, clogged up, or has too much, or is out of balance, or something like that, then the rest of the chakras don't work either. So this practice of visualization only works when you've done the work and maintain the work of keeping your chakras balanced, open, and spinning. Because if they're not doing that, then you won't have the energy to actually practice visualization. So you can't sit down and practice visualization and expect to connect with higher self if you haven't done the work and given the energy that you need, okay? So this is all working with the fact that, A, your chakras are in balance, they're in alignment, they're open, they're spinning, you're maintaining your work to keep them that way. So we're at the sacral chakra, right around the womb area for women, right? This is where life gets started. This is where our sexual energy exists and is stored up. This is where our creative energy is stored up and exists. This is where our will, our desire is here. So not only do we have the will to make manifest some things in our lives, we also are now pushing that will up into our solar plexus so that we can fuel the intention behind our desires. Because you can't not have that, right? You can't not have intentions for asking for something. You remember when you would ask your parents, Mother, may I have $50? And Mother said, why? Why do you need $50? If you didn't have a good intention, or good enough for Mother, the answer was no, you're not getting $50. Money don't grow on trees, right? This is no different. You can't say to the universe, I will have you give me this. And when she says, well, why? Why do you need this? What are your intentions? And you say, I don't know. I just think it's something I want. Oh, no, baby, you can't have that. That doesn't grow on trees. Okay? And so we have to make sure that we understand how our chakras, how the energy is used to image and then bring forth our higher selves and allow her to walk within this physical space. If you are interested, though, right? Because listen, all seven chakras are used in visualization. But for the sake of time and brevity, I'm only going to go over three: the sacral, solar plexus, and crown. But if you're interested in learning how all seven chakras work together to allow your practice of visualization to be transformative, then I will leave a link in the descriptive notes. And you can find out how to get more information on that. Let's talk a little bit more about intention. This is the why. And I'm not going to lie to you. When I was a kid, I could never come up with a good enough reason to ask my mom for money because money was tight. When I say tight, I mean first of the month tight. We didn't have any. Not until the first of the month. So by the end of the month, we were eating ketchup sandwiches and drinking sugar water and calling it dinner. Right? So money was tight. I could never come up with a good enough reason to say, hey, mom, can I have $15? Even if it was to pay club dues at school so I could be a part of some club, I was just like, what am I going to say? We don't even have money to pay the light bill, and I'm going to ask her for $15? Is that a good enough intention to be a part of a club because my friends are? And just to speak to that for a moment, it is for that reason so many of us lack the will for better. We lack wanting better for ourselves, of ourselves. That's it. We lack the will to want better of ourselves because so many of us grew up knowing there was never a good enough reason to ask for more because there was no more to give. We could not trust that who we were asking was going to be able to give us what we wanted, so we didn't see a point in even asking. Because why would I ask her for $15 for a club when she couldn't even pay the light bill? And so let's fast forward where Ella's asking you to ask the universe to give you aspects of your higher self so you can maneuver in this life in a better way. But you can't come up with a reason because you've never asked for anything to better yourself because you never had a good enough reason to ask, and doing so made you feel guilty. So you want me to do what, Ella? You want me to ask the universe to give me higher aspects of myself? What reason would I have for that? I can't come up with a good enough reason for that. We have to get rid of that mentality, beast. We have to let that go. Granted, it took me a minute to figure it out that I didn't know how to ask better of myself because I didn't know I deserved better of myself. I had no idea that I had a right to know my higher self. Because growing up, I didn't have a right to participate in extracurriculars because my mom couldn't afford it. And it was what it was. I didn't have a right to ask for better clothing, better food, because it wasn't going to happen. My mom couldn't do that, and it was what it was. And when you grow up like that, then you just expect things to keep being what it is, right? It is what it is. But you need to understand, you have a right to connect with and know and live as your higher self. You not only have a right, you're purposed for that. So what are your intentions? Why is it that you're asking for whatever it is you're asking the universe for? That comes from our solar plexus. The solar plexus sits like between our navel and our breastbone. And this is where intention takes place. This is where we turn our grounded energy, that energy that says we are stable, we can trust that we are supported. That energy flows up into the sacral chakra and says, you have these desires now. You know what you want, will them into existence. Now push all that energy up into the solar plexus and put intention behind it. Why do you need these things? Why do you desire it? Why do you need to be supported as you access what it is you want? Where we have the identity of self, it becomes our intention. Who you are is in the solar plexus. This is how we self-identify. This is who I am. This is how I want to be perceived from within and without. Once we are pushing earth and water energy into this fire, then we are working. We are working that balance, and it's opened. And then the intention becomes clear. Let me say that again. When your lower chakras are opened and balanced and spinning, and root energy is coursing up through your sacral chakra, and that energy is coursing up into your solar plexus, you don't have to hunt for intention. It is there. Intention exists there. You don't have to come up with a good enough reason. You don't have to try and find a why. It's there. You connect with it. That's where you're able to start truly harnessing what you want to see and how you want it to be made manifest in you, not your life, but in you. The intention is always the same. Who I am is my higher self. What I want is everything that's good for her. Why I want it is because she deserves to have it. My intention doesn't change. So now that we have a kind of working idea of how visualization works through the chakras, I want to swing back around to visualization and redefine what it is. The original definition is seeing what you want, trusting that it is already so, and having the intentions of making it so. I want to go back around and change that definition for you, for what I'm talking about, this ability to image your higher self and then show up in your life as her? We need a new definition of visualization. Visualization is how you see the universe providing what you want. How you see the universe providing what you want. Here's the kicker. Your vision is synonymous with the universe's vision, or at least it needs to be. And if it isn't, then you're not ready to practice visualization. I'm going to say it again. Your vision of your higher self and how she moves within this life, it is the same vision that the universe has for your higher self and how she moves in this life. I'll be sure to put a link to a previous podcast where I talked about trusting the plan. If you and the universe don't have the same vision for your higher self and how she's moving about in this life, then you have not done the work. You haven't done the work. So we're working with the knowledge that yes, you've done the work and you and the universe share the vision of your higher self and how she moves within this space. Where does that vision come from? How can you access that co-conscious vision? You have to have access to the crown chakra, the 1,000 petaled lotus flower that sits at the top of your head. You have to have access to the crown chakra, because that's where visualization happens. That's where the power of visualization happens. Remember, it is the direct connectivity to the universe. The crown chakra is like the umbilical cord connecting us to mother, right? We don't want to sever that connection, although many of us have, but if you are connected, then you share the vision for and of your higher self. The crown chakra is where visualization happens. So we have all this energy that's being concentrated and powering up the crown chakra, which is why, this is why visualization works. It works through the connection with the universe. I honor my connection with the universe through that crown chakra, my spiritual body, or as I like to call her, y'all say hey to Lilith. Hey, Lilith, my enchanted beast. What? Yes, that's who she is. That enchanted beast that walks with us, within us, throughout us, sometimes for us. She is our crown chakra. She is the connection to the universe. If you're not connected to your enchanted beast, then you're just imagining. You're just imagining things that could be. Visualization is not about imagination. It is about imaging, truly seeing your higher self as the universe intended for you to see it. Visualization, how we see the universe providing what we want, it is the same way that she sees it because we share the vision. Our enchanted beast, our higher self, our crown chakra, our spiritual body, that connectivity with the universe, it is a two-way connection, and they are in constant communication. And if you can plug into that, if you can honor and acknowledge and allow your enchanted beast to actually do what she is here to do, then you too are connected. See how that works? So I kind of want to talk about the differences between visualization, now that you know exactly what it is, and imagination. My imagination does not allow me to necessarily visualize my higher self. What is imagination? First and foremost, we need to understand that all things dealing with imagination take place in the physical body. So when we imagine with our brain. And yes, there's a difference between the brain and the mind. The mind is the universal mental, right? The universal mentality, the consciousness. The brain is a collection of cells that have formed this large gray matter that sits beneath our skull. But the brain is physical. We can touch it. The mind, not so much. So imagination takes place in the brain. It is capable of imagining almost anything it has come in contact with. The human brain is not capable of picturing anything that it hasn't seen. Which makes you wonder about our fascination with dragons and mermaids and werewolves and Dracula. Because the brain doesn't need to have intention to imagine, right? It's what fuels our creativity. It's what fuels our ingenuity, our innovativeness. It is what makes the human animal so amazing. But it does not fuel visualization. Because visualization is an infinite practice. Imagination is very physical, it's very finite. Now, hope. A lot of people imagine themselves in some different way. But not their higher selves, just themselves. Like, I might imagine myself having more energy and less brain fog. And I might really want that to happen. I might really, really hope that that can happen for me. But hope is rooted in the heart. Hope is an emotion, right? Our heart is the emotional body. That's where that's encompassed. And it is a physical thing. Emotions are physical. And so, you know, whoever knows any part of the Christian Bible, even if you're not a Christian, right? You've heard this before because good grief, it's on everything. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, this is how This is my first understanding of hope because I did grow up Christian. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, which is the belief, right? And the substance of things hoped for. What is hope? Well, hope is a feeling of desiring, a feeling of expecting. So a belief in the substance of things, right? So a belief in something that I want with the expectations of receiving it, even though I don't see any evidence that it's going to happen. Visualization is not about faith. Visualization is not about feeling expectant of something. Visualization is not about being passive. So when we think about hope versus intention, we have to acknowledge that hope is a passive approach, whereas intention is active. Let me put it in terms that make sense to me as a writer. Okay, when I'm writing, I write in the active voice. What does that mean? It means my characters are causing things to happen. They move the plot along. If I write in the passive voice, then my characters are weak and things are pushing them along. Active voice says that the character is the center of what is moving the book along. Without them, there's depth and breadth to that character. So hope is a passive character. Hope expects and wants and desires for things to happen, but it's not going to do anything to bring it to pass. Hope says, I really want to be less tired and less brain foggy. And I expect something is going to change that will make that happen. And then hope sits down. My intention is to be less tired and combat this increased brain fog. I'm going to have to clean my sleep hygiene up, and I'm going to need to start playing some brain games to increase my synapses. My intention is active. I am actively pursuing what it is I want. We have imagination versus visualization. Any and everybody can practice imagination, and I hope that you guys do because it's good. It's good. But that does not equate to visualization. Hope is not the same as intention. Hope is not the same as intention. And want is not the same as will. And that's confusing. It confused me because I was like, well, my will is what I want. But it goes back to passivity versus activity. I can want or I can will. But here it is. A want is simply a desire to have something or someone or be in possession of something or someone. But a want is just a want until you put some will behind it. A want is simply desire based in the ego. Why? Because let's think about it, right? The ego has a couple of important jobs for the physical body. One, find more like me so that I can procreate, and there's safety in numbers, so I need people who look like me so that I can be protected. So a want is based in the ego's need for procreating and surviving. Because all want comes from a place of fear, right? Because we're so used to wanting and getting, right? If you want it, you go get it. And so we don't really consider where this desire comes from, but it comes from the only place that ego functions from, which is fear. We want because there is a fear somewhere back in our ego, right? In our tiny little lizard brain, that we're not gonna have enough. Now, I want that chocolate chewy because my ego, my body fears I'm not going to have enough glucose to function. It is about protecting this physical body, making sure it stays alive, making sure it can make more of itself. A want has absolutely no will behind it. A want stems from fear, and anything coming from fear is a downfall. It is the downfall of man. If you are a car, who's driving your car? What kind of fuel are you using? If your enchanted beast, your higher self, your spiritual self, your crown chakra, if she is in the driver's seat, then your vehicle is in great hands. If you're trusting your vehicle to your rational or logical body or your emotional body or your ego, then your vehicle is self-destructive. We need to understand 4 points. One, we all have higher selves and lower selves, finite and infinite selves. Our higher self is infinite and connected to the universal source. The lower self operates from fear and the need to protect itself. The higher self works through the lower self when allowed. If visualization of your higher self is not a priority for you, start checking out your vehicle. If doing the work to get those chakras open and balanced and spinning so that you are able to connect with your enchanted beast is not a priority for you, start paying attention to how your body is faring. If using the practice of visualization to see your higher self as the universe created her and allowing her to walk with and through you in this life is not your priority, if you don't want to tap into something as amazing as your higher self, who is directly connected to the universal source. So if visualization to get to know your higher self isn't a priority, if making sure the work is done on the chakras so you can connect with your higher self isn't a priority, take stock of your health. They're patient because they're infinite. But their infinity means that your life is a blink, whereas it's 60, 70 years to us. It's not even a blink to them. And on that happy note, thank you so much for joining me in this first episode of the third season, the first episode of 2020. If you want more about the practice of visualization after you've done the work, I'll leave a link in the show's notes. I'll also leave a couple of links to some past episodes where I talk about chakra work and trusting the plan and understanding how the ego works versus the finite, because it's time to put shit into practice. 2020 needs to be the year of manifestation, needs to be the year we bring about a reawakening of feminine divine energy all over the world. It is the only thing that is going to heal and mend and balance what is broken, what is sick, what is out of balance. This is Ella reminding you to be brave, be beautiful, and be enchanting. Bye.
This has been Ella Shawn with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember to stay enchanted.